Welcome to Season 15 of the Art of Teaching podcast. I'm Matthew Green, and I'm so grateful that you've joined me today. Before we get started with our discussion, I would like to acknowledge the Dharawal people, the traditional custodians of this land on which I'm recording, and pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging. I acknowledge the stories, traditions, and living cultures of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples on this land. Today I'm excited to share a snippet of a longer conversation that I had with the amazing Chris Buswell. He is a multi-award winning educational leader and was named the Showcase Queensland Teacher of the Year in 2019, the Commonwealth Bank Australia Teaching Fellow in 2020, and the Educator Hot List in 2023. In this conversation we talked about building a school, establishing culture, and leadership lessons from Lionel Messi. To listen to the full episode, please click the link in the show notes below.
I spend a lot of my time in classrooms. So I obviously we're a new school and everyone jumps in and just builds the school together. So, and I think as a leader, getting into classrooms and establishing relationships and culture and a shared understanding of like, this is our way of being, our way of doing in the school is really important. So yeah, I'm in the classroom all the time. And so the chaos is something I definitely am exposed to every day. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. This year has been a massive journey for me in terms of my leadership growth. I'm probably 5 years into my leadership journey, across schools now, and coming into a brand new school, the first time I've been in a brand new school, where we've got dual systems. So we're operating under Education Queensland as well as KHDA, which is the Dubai-based system. Wow. So we're getting in and having to really, understand what these systems want us to do, and then merge them and find that there needs to be alignment between them, and developing that culture, as I mentioned, in staff, but then all of the compliance stuff that sits behind it, and our we're shaping curriculum as we go. We're building our understanding of moderation, and these are our processes regarding observations. So policies, processes, so there's just a body of work around leadership that that we've been collectively doing, and my big learning, and think it's something that I reflect on a lot. I'm going through a coaching process at the moment, is just that idea of patience. And I came from a very large school. We had sort of 2,500 kids at Mountain Creek State High School on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland previously, and established school, and then coming into this new setting and having to overlay those skills in a primary setting, K to 12 in a new country. There just needed to be this sense of, it doesn't have to be created straight away. Everything that we have is living, and it is evolved over time based on our staff contributing and taking ownership of it. And we could rush things, or we could overlay what we have done previously, but it wouldn't work, and it wouldn't have that longevity of implementation.
So I'm interested in how you'd sort of merge those two curriculums together and kind of find that common ground. I remember in my first year of teaching, I was working in an IB school in New South Wales, but also, so it felt like we had two systems that we were trying to work out, and it was particularly challenging. But what do you think are some of the lessons that our school system in Australia can learn from the system in Dubai? Is there anything that, if we could take away one thing from the curriculum over there, from the way that things are run, what do you think that will be?
Dubai, I mean, the UAE itself is the change that has happened here over 50 years is pretty phenomenal, and things move very quickly. There's this idea of things can shift within a day's notice, and this is our change of process. And you know, we could get told that there's a public holiday next week. It's just the way things work over here. And I think that that translates to what we see in the world of the KHDA and their education system. It's, I mean, there's a lot of grounding based on the Ofsted process that that they use over in England, the British-based system. But the key ideas is that I think we're the first Australian school, and Australians by nature, we do things a little bit differently, and we really believe in this idea that we're developing the whole child, this holistic sense of education. And we might not achieve an objective over a single lesson. It might be mapped out over multiple days, weeks, months. And so I think a lot of our work is to lead up as well. It's to showcase what makes us unique, showcase what makes us different to other education systems, and then align the way we work with what's already there. Which, you know, like we just got a new wellbeing framework that just came out last week or the week before, and it's incredible. It's great. It's all the right things that we're looking to see in some of the best education systems in the world. So it's a very fluid process over here. I mean, there's a framework that we have to work to, but I think it's working with the system and understanding that it's not rigid and it can be malleable if you do it the right way.
Interesting. I'm just curious, Chris, how you define leadership, and also if we were to ask somebody that you worked with about your leadership, what would they say? I promise we haven't asked anybody. That would actually make a really interesting podcast if we brought somebody in. How do you define leadership, and also what would one of your colleagues say about your leadership and your leadership style?
So leadership is a growth journey, and my understanding is always shifting and changing. I had a student a few years ago when I was involved in the Papua New Guinea PNG Oz partnership, and they stated that leadership is a state of mind, not a role. And that stuck with me. Leaders are first class noticers. So they're someone that has an idea of the staff within and really observes, sits back and gets to know the way trends are moving around classrooms, around the larger school structures, and are able to shift and predict what might happen. I read this great article about Lionel Messi, and it talks about his leadership on the pitch, and he spends 85% of his time off the ball. And, you know, some people say he's kind of like meandering on the field and walking around. But what he's doing is being a first-class noticer. He's looking around and observing the play off the ball, and that allows him to predict what's happening next. And so, I mean, education and leadership, it's a deeply human career. And the first thing that we need to do as leaders is to get to know the people that we have around us, so that we can build those relationships that foster trust, that build safety. And really, you know, once you've got those key fundamental elements, I believe that you can inspire people to kind of think beyond what their boundaries are or what they think their boundaries might be. You know, that idea of building passion and progressing people through their career, and people realizing that education is definitely not static. There are multiple ways in which you can progress down your career. For me, it's inspiring others and influencing, but doing it in a way that you're one of that team. You're not someone that sits above people. People have always told me that good leaders need to make themselves redundant, and I've kind of always struggled with this idea, but maybe I might understand it one day. But it's empowering people around you with the skills to understand that larger strategic vision and that set of values that your school has, and once they have that clarity, then that process should be automatic, and people feel confident to be able to go about their jobs. the middle leadership of schools are incredibly important. You might have read Michael Fullan's work around middle leaders, and there's lots of stories around how large businesses, if they take that middle leadership out, the effect that has on staff. Google, for example, I think they experimented in 2002 and they removed all their middle leadership. And what happened was people started to, not miss that idea of being micromanaged and being told what to do in their jobs, but they just missed being valued. They missed having that human connection and someone to say, like, is this the right pathway? And just get that affirmation that you are doing the right thing, or maybe that coaching opportunity to say, have you thought about doing it this way?
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast episode today. It's a privilege to get to share these conversations with you and continue to invest into our incredible profession. If you have a few moments, please do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or through whichever platform you're listening today. If you wouldn't mind also hitting the subscribe button and sharing it with your networks, it would really help to get the word out to as many educators as possible. There are different ways to connect in the notes below, including links to the website, the Facebook group, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you again for taking the time to listen. It means the world.